Today on Real Radio.
Jesus cannot be everywhere physically, but he can be with you wherever you're at. He's in heaven, but the Holy Spirit in you does the ministry. And the appointments that you and I have are ordained by God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. Our teacher is taking us through the last two paragraphs of chapter 10 in a mini-series called More Than What Meets the Eye. It's one of the New Testament sections that addresses the issue of true teachers versus false teachers. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his mini-series called More Than What Meets the Eye.
Paul would forge into a country, preach the gospel, people would get saved, then Paul would move on, and then these legalists would come behind after he would leave and derail people. That's the they's he's speaking about. Measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, what does he say? They are not wise. Why? This is human tendency. To compare ourselves with ourselves rather than compare ourselves, listen, to Jesus Christ. Say, Jack, did I hear that right? Wouldn't I much rather compare myself with others around me than compare myself with Jesus? A Christian will not and will refuse to compare themselves among themselves. You want to know why? Because when we look at each other, watch this, everybody, and this, again, this is human tendency. Man, that guy's something. That guy's something. I don't want to hang around him. He makes me feel bad. I'm going to move over here. Ah, now, there you go. That guy's a jerk. He makes me feel better. What are you saying? Gosh, I'm not as good as that guy, but I'm not as bad as that guy. So I'm okay over here where I'm at. And then somebody across the street's looking at you saying that you're, there's that jerk across the street about you. Or, wow, that guy's like too holy, man, for me. So I'm going to, do you see what happens? People wind up creating their own standards. And listen, God doesn't, he doesn't grade like that. Listen, that's how the world grades. Well, you know, I know, come on. I mean, look, you'll have to forgive my Irish. Oh, whoops, forgive my French. That wasn't French and you're not Irish. What is it? You need Jesus. That's what's going on. What happens is God changes our lives, and you know you have a changed life today if Jesus Christ is your standard. And here's the deal. When you and I as believers put ourselves, based on the Bible, up to Jesus' example, how long do we stand in front of him with his example? Not long. You see, when we look at others, we go, oh, I'm not as good as that guy, but I'm sure better than that guy. When we look at Jesus, what do? We fall on our face. Right? The Christian is a man or a woman who has fallen on their face, and they understand, I can't save myself. I cannot do anything by my own power. I can't make a difference in this world unless God picks me up off the ground. Yes. And this is vital to your Christian success in the faith, that the truth of the matter is Jesus is our standard. Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1 shared an amazing statement. You might want to mark it down in your margins next to verse 12 of this chapter. 1 Corinthians 11, 1. Paul said, listen, everybody, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Wow. What? Yep, the word means this. To mimic or to mime. Do you know what a mime is? I mean, I don't like those kind of guys. They bug me, but you know the people, they act stuff out. And you can figure out, oh, look, he's acting like this. Oh, look, he's walking like... And they do a movement so good or a face that they mimic somebody and you recognize that and you laugh or they have your attention. The word also means to be a copy of. The word also means, listen, it's the relationship between a journeyman and an apprentice, which is kind of cool if you think about it. Paul the Apostle says, as I follow Jesus, who do you think Jesus is? You think Jesus is the apprentice or the journeyman? Jesus is the journeyman, the master craftsman. Paul says, you know what? As I follow him, you guys follow me. Isn't that a bold statement? Guess what? Did you know that's normal in Christianity? You know that's normal. That's the norm. We have forgotten about that. Our hearts get broken when people that we're to follow fall. Breaks our hearts. Listen, children, their hearts get broken when dad fails or when dad walks away or walks out of the house. Breaks their hearts. Why? Because it is engineered by God that a child look to the mom and dad. And you heard Pastor Jose say earlier regarding the Watts Outreach that where these fathers are not present, the family breaks apart and the community goes into decay. Isn't it amazing? Insert God-fearing fathers and listen, watch what happens. That is a fact and it is a design by God. But with church leaders, Paul says, follow me. Here's the qualifier. As I imitate Christ. That's the key. So church, listen, as repulsive as it is to say this in our culture today, it is biblical truth nonetheless. We are to follow godly leaders. The question should then be asked, who is a godly leader that we might follow them? The answer is leaders that you know. Don't think of leaders that you can assume or project. This is a danger of ours. This stuff of, American Idol. You can tell by the programming that when they really think somebody's got something, they'll really focus on them and pour all kinds of special input into them. And probably behind the scenes, they're doing contract deals with that guy already because he shows potential and all this kind of stuff. And they make a star out of somebody, right? And then everybody hooks their wagon to this star going across the stage, as it were. And how does that usually turn out in the long run? Not often very good. It's a sad day in ministry when the church has their rock stars. We need to be careful about that when the church has rock star type pastors. Or rock star type servants. Really? A rock star servant? Hey, everybody, I'm your servant. Woo, come on, tutor, give it up for me. I'm your servant. Woo, get my poster, let me sign it. I'm your servant. Are you really? Listen, Christianity assumes that the leaders are knowable, that you can know them. Now look, if you and I bump into each other, and we will. Oh, just trust me, it will happen. You and I will bump into each other at Lowe's or Vons or wherever you are. I'll be there. No, I mean, wherever you are, we live in the same community. That's just the way that it is. It would be a sad thing if I'm at the counter saying, come on, man, what's the deal? You're a loser checkout person, and I want my money back. Who's that? Sounds like Pastor Jack. That would be pathetic. That would be pathetic. But the same is true when I hear you at the counter. And even if I don't recognize you, I see that your car got saved because it has a sticker on it. And I'm going, oh. You know? We have to remember that. The standard is Jesus, not some other man. Well, I'm not as bad as that other guy. Forget the other guy. Jesus is our standard. And everything he wants to do through us, listen, get this. I read this in a book this week, so don't miss this. It's so cool. Warren Wiersbe says that as Christians, we need to be very careful that we are not manufacturers of what God's called us to do. If we're manufacturers, then to be a manufacturer, you got to procure supplies. You've got to get the clock. You got to be there before sunup. You got to be there late into the night. You got to make sure everything's flowing. You got to grease those wheels. You got to sacrifice. You've got to do this. You got to keep it going. You got to wipe the sweat from your face and from other people because you're a manufacturer and you got to be doing all this stuff. And sometimes church is done like that. Pump it up. We're in church. Do it. And people go from one sugar rush Sunday to the next sugar rush Sunday. And it's all about boom. Wiersbe says, Christians were never called to be manufacturers. Christians were simply called to be distributors. We are only supposed to give out what God has given us. Amen. Isn't that, you say, well, that's a little too easy. God knows what we can handle, and easy is it. Right? Listen, well, Pastor, don't you want to, like, when you're teaching the Bible, don't you want to have, like, flames come up behind you when you're talking about hell? For what? You know, kind of get people in the mood? Or when you're talking about heaven, shouldn't there be, like, angels maybe kind of, like, going across the sanctuary like that? Kind of, to kind of put people in the mindset? Listen, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, they'll follow me. Amen. And this is vitally important. Jesus Christ is our standard. The second thing is in verses 13 to 14 is that our appointment is of God. And you say, what do you mean by appointment? Well, look at that verse. It says, we, however, will not boast beyond measure. Paul says, this is great. Paul says, we boast. Oh, yeah, we boast all the time about what God has done in ministry, but we won't boast about things that we don't know about. We won't boast about ministries that we don't have any connection with. We're not going to talk about that stuff, but within the limits or sphere of the influence, the regions, the appointment which God appointed us. Think of this for a moment. A sphere which especially includes you, the Corinthians, for we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. Paul says, we're not sticking our nose in other people's business. We are ministers to the church at Corinth and beyond should God open those doors. Now watch this. He is saying that by appointment, he rejoices in what God does. Okay, watch. How many of you like work in an office? Raise your hand. You work in an office setting? Okay, how many of you work on the road? Do you travel, work on the road? How many of you have jobs? Raise your hands. Yikes, how many of you don't have jobs? Raise your hands. Yikes, California, right, I forgot. Listen, if you're employed or unemployed, if you're disabled, if you're retired, you are where you're at by God's appointment. Now, listen, the situations that got you to the place that you're at, God may not have done those things, but he knows where your feet land every day. And God expects you by divine appointment, wherever you're at in this life living today. Listen, right now, God appointed you to be sitting right here to hear this so that in a moment you're going to leave this building and you are going to reappoint your feet and your body somewhere else. You're going to drive through Taco Bell, or you're going to go sit down somewhere, or you're going to go to work, whatever, and it's not an accident. Well, man, it was fine being at church this morning, but now I got to go to the office where God is not. No, God is there. If you're there, Christian, God is there with you. And you got to remember that wherever you go, it's not like he's nowhere. Change the wording on that. It's that he's now here. Where? When you show up, believer, well, you don't know where I work. I don't care to know where you work. God knows where you work. Where you go, God wants you to grow. And where you're at, you are going to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You are going to be exposing Christ to other people. Jesus cannot be everywhere physically, but he can be with you wherever you're at. He's in heaven, but the Holy Spirit in you does the ministry and the appointments that you and I have are ordained by God. Vitally important. I know we know this verse, but you need to hear it again. Jesus said in John 15, 16, you did not choose me. We could stop right there and spend a month on that statement. Jesus said, you didn't choose me. So, well, Jesus, who are you talking to? I'm talking to those who I chose. He says, you didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Fruit. Can you guys hear me? Yes. You're so quiet. Fruit. Think of fruit. Jesus says, look, you didn't pick me. I picked you. I chose you. Why did you choose us? All of us from here to here. Why did he choose us? So that you would go now and bear fruit. Go. Bear fruit. So, well, yeah, how does that happen? Listen, simply this. In a moment, you're going to hear the gospel. As you yield to the gospel, God will take you and use you. And when he uses you, it will not be by manufacturing purposes. It will be by distribution. Telling people what you know. Sharing with people what you know. So listen, vitally important, that as we do this, recognize wherever you go, God has engineered a divine appointment for you. Is it a phone call? Is it somebody in the family? Is it a neighbor? Is it where? It doesn't matter. Wherever God has appointed you is where God has a work for you to do. Listen, this should remove some doubt from your minds about where you're at. Man, I was wondering about that job, that company, that place, that thing I'm doing right now. Drives me nuts. There's nothing there but a bunch of pagans. Hello? That's why you're there. How are these poor pagans going to get reached? By you. God has appointed your feet. And that's a very, very wonderful thing. And God has given you authority. Listen, thirdly, here is found in verses 14 to 15, is our ministry is the gospel itself. Now, listen, the gospel. Look what he says. For it was to you, the Corinthians, that we came with a 10-step program on how to get rich. No. A 12-step program on how to think better about yourself. Nope. Listen, no matter what you offer up, even in a so-called church setting, if it's not the gospel of Christ, it's not the gospel, my friends. Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors. Watch this. Here's his motive. But having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our influence. This is awesome. The ministry of the gospel. What is the Christian to do? Christians, listen. You're going to get a little uncomfortable for a moment. Are you okay? Here we go. As a Christian, you should be able to tell people, anybody, at any given moment, we should have a drill right now. Right? We really should. If you're a Christian, right, you've experienced God's transforming power in your life, you know that what you once were, you are not now. I had this dear young lady come up to me after first service in the foyer, and she said, I've been a Christian for 2 years now, and I don't feel like I'm growing because I had a temper before, and it's been doing great for these last 2 years, and then somebody made me upset, and the old me came up, and I thought, am I saved? And I said, oh, man, this is so awesome. Truly, it is awesome. Listen to you. Before, you couldn't recognize what drove you crazy and everybody around you crazy, and you didn't recognize what was wrong with you. Then you met Jesus Christ 2 years ago. You've been walking in his grace, and now you recognize because some level of provocation brought out your old nature, and look it. Instead of you defending it, you're crying here in the foyer because you can't stand the memory or the appearance of the old you. I said, look at you. You are gloriously saved. I said, why don't you just give me your Bible? Let's just burn it. Let's just throw it away. No, I can never do that. Well, why don't you just deny Jesus? And I can never do that. Why could you not throw away your Bible? Why could you not deny Jesus? Because you love your Bible and you love Jesus because you love your new life. And you now recognize the old you. And I said, listen, go read the book of Romans because Paul will tell you how to crucify the old flesh again that keeps popping up. Have you noticed that? You just, oh, I've got victory. I got victory in that area, brother. I got victory. And then you let down your guard and boop, right? And that's how you grow. She goes, well, I haven't sensed the presence of God lately in my life. I said, well, you're doing something wrong? No. I said, then listen, you're growing. It's kind of like when you're teaching your kids how to ride the bike. When you're teaching them how to ride a bike, you're holding onto the bike. And you're even you, the one, the parent, teaching the kid how to ride the bike, you're kind of going down the street and you're like, oh, it's okay. What time is it anyway? And it's kind of cash. You know what's going on because you're in control. But when the parent lets go of the seat, remember the kid, don't let go, don't let go, don't let go, don't let go. And you lie your head off completely to them. It's a biblical lying. It's a biblical lying. I won't, sweetheart. I'm right here, baby. Everything's fine. You're not going to crash and you let go. Daddy, don't let go. I'm fine. It's okay. I'm right here with you. And they do great until they look back. They get their eyes off of where they're going and they look back, and then they crash when they look back. You can put a stopwatch on it. It happens that like that. Here's the amazing thing. As a parent, you're never more closer to them than when you let go. You may not be physically there, but are you emotionally there? Oh, yeah. Are your eyes on them more now that they're under their own power? Listen, God does that to the Christian life. When you go give the gospel, you're going to say, I'm scared. Listen, as a Christian, you have got something to say. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends, the gospel. I'm going to give it to you in a moment. The gospel. Every Christian should be able to give to someone else the gospel in moments. Okay, listen. The second thing is it's all of his power. It's all of him. That's why we are terrified to do it. Imagine right now, I could have really set you guys up today. I could have said like I often do, how many of you are Christians in here? Raise your hand and your hands would go up. Great. Come on up here. Come on up here and tell us in 3 seconds, how did you accept Christ? Oh, great. Move on. Think of that one. It's easy to raise your hand. The truth's something different, right? The Christian can tell you, stumbling, terrified, yes, but they've got something to say. And it is awesome. And it's the power and the transforming power of the gospel. And Paul tells the church at Corinth, we came to you not selling some package. We came to you to give you the gospel. And church, are you ready? Here it is. Here it is. Mark it down. Put it in your margins. Write it on your friend's forehead or their arm right next to you. Do this. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Paul said, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. That makes him a distributor, not a manufacturer. Next week, we'll talk about manufacturers. That number one, watch this. One, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. This is the gospel. Number one thing, I know Jesus Christ died for my sins according to the Bible. Number two, and that Jesus Christ was buried. This is the gospel. Number three, that he rose again from the dead on the third day. Fourth, it's all about the Bible. It's all according to the scriptures. Did you get that? That's it. Now watch this. Jack, are you sure? Did you leave anything out? Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our sins, according to the scriptures. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, according to the scriptures. He died in our place. He was buried and he rose according to the Bible. Notice, in two verses, according to the Bible. According to the Bible. Biblical authority. The gospel is that simple. Now watch this. You say, man, are you sure it's simple? Go ahead and put that verse back up on the screen. 1 Corinthians 15, look how simple it is. Look at this. It's so simple, a child can get it. You add to this, and you've departed from the path of grace. Look at it. You say, Pastor, I have a hard time with it. That's just too simple. You know what? Try to tell a arrogant man or a proud woman these verses right here. They'll reject them in a heartbeat. Listen, are you listening? This is almost, as it were, spiritual code. It's almost like a chemical test or an acid test of, how about this? It's like a pregnancy test. Is the Holy Spirit in you? I don't know. Well, let's take a test. Let's dip you in this verse. What color is this? If you say, thank God, Jesus died for my sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day, thank God. You know what? You're pregnant. I mean to say the Holy Spirit lives in you, okay? If you say, that's ridiculous, that's so simple, I can't believe that. If it's so simple, why can't you believe it? See, it's a test.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a mini-series called More Than What Meets the Eye. It's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 7 through 18. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just a reminder about the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. It's free, and once you download it, you'll have immediate on-the-go mobile access to real-life TV programs, our daily Real Radio broadcasts. You'll have video of Pastor Jack's weekly teachings, the online Bible, along with its daily reading plan, by the way. You can listen to it and or read it. Pastor Jack's real-life devotionals, tools and resources to help you know God a whole lot better. And you can connect with Pastor Jack through Facebook and YouTube and a whole lot more. That's the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. It's a free download. Just go to your app store and find the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. To find out more, pay us a visit at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Want to reach us by phone? Real easy. Here's the number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.